Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the show, the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM. How are you doing? Of course, this is the show where we connect you with insights, information, and illumination. And we're going to be illuminating the airwaves for the next hour and hope you will be staying with us for that hour. I do want to say, though, that if there's any part of the conversation you miss out or you'd like to listen to again, you can always catch the podcast from tomorrow on the Chai FM website. So we're going to be starting today talking about a very important topic. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we always promote it, and yes, we are in June. Today we're talking about breast cancer, but we're talking specifically about men and breast cancer, because there is this misnomer, this misunderstanding around men being able to get breast cancer. They can, absolutely, 100%. Checking the self is very important. Early detection is very important. And so that is why we've decided to bring this conversation to you today. So I have on the line Steve Kelly, who is a breast cancer warrior, and here to share his story. So Steve, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Nikki. Can you hear me?
Can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah, no, 100% agree with your introduction. There's a lot of ignorance about breast cancer in men, as you pointed out. It's not really a gender issue. It's the same disease. And so the reality is that men can get breast cancer just as women can. And I've been through that process, so I can talk to it.
Yeah, well, so important, Steve. You know, the first thing I wanted to say was someone turned around before we hear your story and someone said to me, I didn't know men had breasts.
Yeah. Yeah, we're born with breasts.
That's the first step, right?
Yeah, yeah. Of course, things changed in puberty, and I think both men and women are kind of fixated on women's breasts. So I don't think I'm speaking for myself. I think it's a fact. So, so often men, it gets overlooked. And, you know, it's statistics. 1% of breast cancer will be men. But now that's still a large number. If you consider how many women get breast cancer in the country every year, that's a lot of men going to get it as well.
Absolutely. So Steve, let's hear your story, right? So up until the time you were diagnosed, you probably also thought it wasn't possible for men to get breast cancer. So what is the story? Did it start off with a lump in the chest, the nipple area? Was it painful? Tell us about your story, please.
No, it's the textbook painless lump. Now, I know that there are other forms, but I had the textbook painless lump directly behind the nipple, my right nipple. It was my wife who actually noticed that the nipple was slightly inverted. And then when you felt it, you could feel a marble-like lump, painless. And that's part of the problem, is that a lot of men don't seek medical attention because they think it's not sore, it's not that obvious. Why go and look for a doctor? So, yeah.
I'm going to just stop you there, Steve, because I just want to hone in on what you've said about it being this, underneath the behind the nipple. So the nipple was slightly inverted, because, we always talk about part of self-examination is looking at your breasts and seeing if anything's changed. So you're saying that your wife had already pointed out this your nipple had become slightly inverted, and this marble-like lump. So does that mean it was a hard, so it is a hard lump? Is that how it felt?
Yes. The pathologists call it a ductal carcinoma. So it was in the breast ducts, which men have as well, by the way. And yeah. The carcinoma is a cancerous growth. So this is a textbook lump, basically.
Yeah. Okay. So when you felt it, did you immediately go off to your doctor, or did you think, oh, maybe it's just, I don't know, some kind of node or something strange happening? What was your immediate reaction?
So my reaction, typical male, I was not fussed. It wasn't sore. Mm. It wasn't obvious. My wife said, no, you must go and have this checked out. So I did go to my GP. My GP took one look at it and said, no, off to the x-ray department you go. So the GP is not the right person to look at a lump in your breast, by the way. Go straight to the x-ray department and see a radiologist or a radiographer. We'll do x-ray or look at you with a scanner.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. And then she referred me to the Bone and Breast Center in Rivonia, where they do a proper mammogram. And of course, the diagnostic is a needle, what they call a fine needle aspiration. We'll actually stick a needle in this thing and send it off to the labs, and then they'll tell you if you have cancer.
Yeah.
That very unpleasant part of the experience, that part.
Mm-hmm. And when you were, were you told, obviously they had to, as you say, take it to the labs. Did you have to wait a while, or was it immediate?
Yeah, the labs always take a while, especially with a diagnosis like cancer. They won't, they try very hard not to give you bad news if they're not like 99% sure. So the radiologist gave me an assessment based on what she could see with the mammogram and with her sonar, and it was like a 90% chance of that this thing was cancerous. But they wait for the labs, the pathologist, to send back the diagnosis. And of course, what's really important about that, it's not just the type of cancer, it's the grade and the stage. Yeah. So in my case, the grade 3, that means the lump is very, very clearly discernible from the tissue, surrounding tissue. And the stage indicates how far advanced that cancer is. So I was a stage 3, grade 3, which is quite high risk, but you don't want to get, well, basically the earlier you catch this, the better, right? If you can find a lump at stage 1, it can be fixed with a lumpectomy, and you can go into the hospital and come out and you'd be fine. But in my case, I needed a mastectomy to get this thing out.
So, when we're going to hear about the treatment, wow, so you had to have a mastectomy. Okay, we're going to come back to that. When you were diagnosed, when you got the news that you have breast cancer, what was your response, Steve? First of all, I'm sure, because it's something that you didn't even know was possible. And there's the diagnosis of cancer, right?
Well, it's actually funny. I've always run, I've always supported breast cancer research, and I've run for the breast cancer fundraisers and things. And I didn't know that men could get breast cancer. So I was shocked. But to be honest, any cancer diagnosis is traumatic. And I don't think it matters what cancer it is. They're all, no cancer diagnosis is a good thing. However, some cancers are easier to treat than others. And breast cancer, and credit also to the millions of women who've been through this before me, is well known, and the treatment protocols are well established. The treatment protocols that were used on me are exactly the same as the ones which are used on women. There's no difference in the treatment of this cancer.
That's so interesting to me, because, when I think of breast cancer in women, I don't know why, like hormones come to mind, and then the treatment would be so specific for women, but you are saying, no, that's not true. So, Steve, did you have to go the route of shrinking the lump first? Like, did you go for chemotherapy first and then the mastectomy? How did your treatment work?
Yeah. So I know it's a collaborative process. So I know that the oncologist met with the radiologist and they discussed my treatment, and there was a surgeon involved, of course. They decided to go ahead with the surgery as soon as possible. I mean, it was like less than a week, and I was in the surgery, and they did the mastectomy. And what you should know about the spread of the cancer. So it starts off as a small lump, like a stage one cancer, that can easily be removed. It's localized. But as the cancer spreads, it gets into your lymph glands. And in stage three, where I was, it's already in the lymph glands, and the lymph glands have to be removed with the breast when they do the mastectomy. So they removed, in my case, 9 of those lymph glands. And of course, what the lymph glands do is they drain the lymph that circulates around your body. So you do have some unpleasant side effects because of that. My arm swelled up, and I need to wear a compression sleeve for a year to get through that. But I don't know, was there something else you wanted to know about?
Well, so you went and you had the mastectomy immediately.
Now, after the diagnosis, the pathology said the grade and type of cancer. Then the treatment plan was worked out, and that included the surgery first, in my case, the chemotherapy second, and then radiation. So it's three types of treatment.
Wow. And the chemotherapy that you went for, was it like this red devil that some people tell us about?
It was the red devil, yes. Yeah,
goodness
exactly
gracious.
The same.
Oh. And is it as bad as,
it's a horrible
as everyone
thing.
Says? Did you lose your hair, Steve?
Yes, I lost my hair after the first red devil.
Wow.
The red devil is not nice. I had red devil, I think 4 of them, and then I had Taxol, which is another type of chemo. So I had 6 months of chemotherapy. I think it was 12 sessions. So chemotherapy is a very strong medicine, and it's infused either directly into your bloodstream or via your arm, or else via a port. And I had 2 ports, because the first one got blocked, and then I had to have it replaced. The port goes directly into your heart, if you like. So it's pretty hectic.
Yeah, that is. Wow. I mean, we talk about it so matter-of-factly, right? But this is just, it is. It's so hectic. It's so hectic.
Well, after the chemo, you have a bobolas for 3 days before you feel normal again.
Gosh.
And that is
and you had that for 6 months.
Destroy the little cancer cells that are circulating in your immune system. That's what the chemo is for.
Steve, I wanted to just say, I just wanted to go back to the mastectomy, because you can have a lumpectomy. Mm. So the mastectomy, yes. When we've discussed it with women, that is the actual removal of the breast. And so we've discussed, you know, how interesting it is, because men and women have breasts, and it's the tissue, the breast tissue. So if you had a mastectomy, what if you don't mind me asking, and the lump was just behind the nipple, could you see after the operation that you had breast tissue removed? How did it look? Did you have to have any kind of reconstructive surgery after that?
The surgeon actually came to see me the day before the operation, the afternoon before the operation, and he had a Koki pen, and he drew on my breast like a leaf shape all around my nipple. And then I said to him, you know what, is the nipple coming out? He says, yes, because the cancer's just behind it, is what he said. So basically, in my case, he cut out my breast completely, nipple and all. And I didn't have reconstruction. Now, that's the only real difference between my treatment and the treatment that most women would have, is they would have a reconstruction after the initial surgery. So in my case, and you can see the picture, on the Oncology Buddies website what it looks like. I mean, I don't need a reconstruction. My breast is not really a feature, as far as I'm concerned. It's just a scar. That's all it is now.
Right.
I have to say that the reconstructive surgery these days is absolutely fantastic. And you can have, you know, and some people like Jessie J, the pop star, she told everybody she's got breast cancer now. She's going away. She's going to have this treated and she's going to come back with the hugest boobs. That's what she told everybody. But no, but really, they do such a good job. And the surgeons all say the gold standard for reconstructive surgery is that you can lie on the beach and you'll get all the attention and nobody would know that it was reconstructed.
That's very encouraging, I have to say.
No, that's really, said, really you know, good surgery now.
Yeah.
Okay, but I didn't have a reconstruction, so I just have a scar. And I'm quite happy with it. When I'm on the beach, I wear a sun top anyway because I'm such a roy neck. So I wear a sun top anyway, but not to scare the kids, you know, because it is quite a nasty scar.
Yeah.
But I'm quite happy with it.
Yeah, and I mean, you've been 7 years in remission, so you wear it like a badge of, you know, honor, and I suppose it represents a time in your life that you have overcome, and it represents a strength within you. So that's amazing, Steve. But you, unfortunately, from the chemotherapy, you have experienced some heart issues.
Yes, it was recommended to me that I go and see the cardiologist, and I did a baseline, you know, VO2 max, and I ran on the treadmill like I've done before. And then after the chemo, I did the same thing again. And definitely, you know, I'm not firing on all cylinders anymore. I don't have the same endurance. I still feel great. But you know, occasionally I do need to lie down. I'm feeling my age, I guess, a bit. And I certainly can't run more than 5Ks now, whereas I used to be quite a good endurance athlete, but I can't anymore. But that's okay. Yeah. I accept that, you know.
Absolutely. You know, that you've come through it. And as we've said, you know, remission 7 years, it's amazing. And I think that what's really very special, Steve, is that you've taken your cancer and you've taken something that, as we said, you know, many people would go, what? How is it possible that men can have breast cancer? And you've put yourself out there. You've been a Philotema Cancer Project cancer champion. You're trying to break down the stigma. And I think that that's pretty amazing. Why have you decided to make yourself heard by everyone? You know, some people wouldn't want anyone to know what their experience has been.
Yes.
Why is it important for you?
Well, you know, to me, it just came naturally. When I met other cancer survivors, and it came naturally to me to talk about these issues. And it horrifies me that there isn't more information out there, that people aren't more aware of the fact that, you know, anyone can get this cancer. And I've seen people, unfortunately, breast cancer is so widespread. I mean, I know people that have died from this cancer. So it's a serious wake-up call. They must know. And there are some types of male breast cancer that are very aggressive. Or let me put it this way. The breast cancer can be very aggressive in males. My understanding is that it's not a gender thing. It's just there's different types of breast cancer. I've got the hormone sensitive one, which can be treated with a pill, with tamoxifen, which is an estrogen blocker, because my cancer is responsive to estrogen. Mm-hmm. So, and women have the same thing, but there are other types of cancer that are more aggressive and more difficult to manage.
Yeah. So, before we say goodbye, because unfortunately, Steve, we have come to the end of our time together. Is there anything that maybe we haven't covered that you want our audience to know or to think about? Anything you have further to say?
No, the only thing I'd like to remind everybody that because men are generally not good at self-examination, your partners can help you with that. Like in my case, well, it was my wife who noticed the lump. So obviously, and this happens a lot. So what I'm saying is check your partners, is what I'm saying. That's my message.
Be the loving partner and check the partner. But no, but I mean that's so. I mean it's so true. We always talk about early detection, Steve, and it's very important that men know that they need to do the self-examination, and certainly the wives who are listening now know as well. So thank you for your time, Steve. Thank you for coming onto the show. I beg your pardon, and
you're
for
welcome.
Sharing your story. And also, breaking down this stigma around men and breast cancer. We so appreciate you being on the show. Take care.
Oh, thank you, Nikki. Okay,
thank
bye.
Bye-bye. Steve Kelly here on The Dealing Show on 101.9 High FM. We're going to take a break. And then after the break, Clive Maestri will be joining us. We're going to be talking about an incredible campaign, Go Healthy with Taiwan campaign. And it's all around health and wellness, and entering a competition. And it's just fabulously exciting stuff.